Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. That's right, a great show lined up for you here on your Friday, even though we're still out on the Disney Dream on the Be Our Guest podcast cruise. We're sitting down with Ricky today to talk about her trip out to Aulani Resort in Hawaii last year and talking about how a Disney fan that travels to the Walt Disney World and Disneyland resorts can get a kick out of heading out to Hawaii. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time to book that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line vacation, or even head out to the islands of Hawaii, work with one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less. They're going to take great care of you from start to finish. Make sure you're always getting the best financial deal possible on that trip and make it as magical as possible. They're professional, passionate agents, and they love helping out their guests. So check them out today. Drop by themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and give Drew Baker a call at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprizeadvisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1197 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman of BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. But today, I'm Mike Rallman from Castaway Key, the Bahamas. What's going on? Yeah, we're having a great time in paradise. Unfortunately, the cruise does come to an end tomorrow, but I can't wait to share all the great memories. We're still going to be down at Walt Disney World for another few days. So follow me on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. You know I love sharing our trips, and when I get back to Wi-Fi, because I'm too cheap to buy it on the ship, you're going to see a lot of pictures starting on Saturday, so be ready for that. Joining me today, we're going to have Ricky here on a Friday. We're talking about not the Caribbean, but we're headed out west. We're actually heading out to Oceania, or I guess that would be the Pacific Islands. We're heading out to Hawaii to Aulani. So it's been quite a while since she took the trip, but let's talk about it today. Ricky's, of course, from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Aloha, Ricky. What's going on?
Aloha. Yes. And, you know, this weekend is D23, so I'm expecting a lot of news to be coming out about that, too. So I think we'll all be glued to our phones once we get off the ship. And I'll be like, okay, what did we miss?
Okay, so we are recording this. Everybody knows we had to obviously record this before we took off on the cruise. We're trying to get ahead here so that you guys have great content. We never want you to miss a show. So we're well ahead of D23. But let me ask you two things about that real quick. And obviously, we'll see if these things come true here very, very soon. Ratatouille coming to France. 100%? Is it coming?
I mean, I would bet that it's coming to France, yeah. Yeah.
Is Impressions Day France going away because of Ratatouille?
I have heard Impressions Day France is staying.
Really? Interesting.
Yes.
So where do you think this ride would go? Is there a lot of space back behind the pavilion, or what do you think?
Correct. So from the maps that I've seen, there will be a walkway kind of along. It's along the side of the France Pavilion, so along the right side, there would be a walkway that would take you behind the pavilion, and then there is a very large space where Disney had earmarked for another pavilion to be built. And of course, you know, we don't build new pavilions for, you know, Epcot. We just add on to the ones we have now. So, no new countries, just same countries, new product. So, it's going to go in one of those spaces where, it was earmarked for another country. So that's what I've seen. And I'm assuming is probably what's going to happen.
It makes sense though, when you look at the geography of that part of Epcot. Epcot, that part of World Showcase. But, you know, it just in my mind, because, and I don't want to say Epcot is stale, but, you know, it's so stable back in World Showcase, you know, in my time in the Disney universe in the last 10, 12 years, World Showcase hasn't changed much other than Norway, you know, so I just can't, like, to picture an e-ticket attraction in the back by, you know, UK, Japan, Morocco, France, all that area, like, it's just so calm and, like, restaurants and not much more. To think of that as an area where probably the biggest e-ticket attraction on property will be for a couple of years, that kind of blows my mind a little bit.
I know. It's kind of exciting. I mean, you know, you think about the beginnings of Epcot and, you know, all the attractions and stuff like that they had mentioned were coming. I mean, you had the Japan Pavilion with, you know, the Mount Fuji attraction that was supposed to come. So, I mean, just think if that would have actually come to fruition, how different World Showcase would be instead of what it is, with, you know, the main focus being on restaurants now and shopping. So I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing with World Showcase as we go forward. Although, of course, I think it's going to be heavy IP. But, you know, I'm excited to see what they have up their sleeves. Of course, I think we are also going to be saying goodbye to Universe of Energy. And whether that's for Guardians or Tron, that's to be decided, I guess, this weekend. I assume that's something else we'll hear about. So big changes, I think, for Epcot are in store. We'll see. I think this is the year for Epcot at D23, Epcot and Hollywood Studios with Star Wars Land. I think those are the two big things we're going to get this year.
That was going to be my second
thing. I'm making the prediction now. Let's put it this way. It's weeks before, so we'll see what actually happens.
It actually is weeks before when we're recording. So that's what I was going to ask. You know, is Guardians of the Galaxy coming to Universe of Energy? I think Universe of Energy either way is, Ellen is short for this world at this point.
I think so. I think we are going to have to get in one last ride on Ellen this trip, but you know, so I've always said, and, you know, right now you've got Mission Space down for refurbishment. Brian and I had always had the conversation that we thought the Guardians would actually work really well in there. So I would think that would be really cool to see Guardians go in there while they're refurbishing it and then bring in Tron maybe for Epcot at Universe of Energy. But again, I don't know what's actually going to happen, but I think it could be either one. We'll see what happens.
I could totally see that thematically working, but what's killing me, and I'm kind of a purist, and I wish Future World would keep all the IP out. You know, let's just keep
educational.
You know, edutainment as it used to be, but, you know, you have the Living Seas is now basically Nemo Land, so it's already there. You know, I don't think we think of it as hard because maybe it's an animated cartoon or, you know, like something that's so beloved by the Disney fans. Guardians is kind of, you know, it's Marvel. It's not true Disney. You know, it's, I don't know. I think it's
even
totally going to change the feel.
Pixar isn't true Disney. I mean, that they are, you know, like, I get it. Like, at least Pixar has had the affiliation with Disney for, you know, forever. Whereas, you know, Marvel has not. And I think for, you know, hardcore Disney fans, it's still hard to consider that Marvel is a part of Disney, but I know it is. And I know, you know, that's a good thing, but it's still a little bit.
But
still a little.
Could like early 80s Future World still work? Because I think it totally could. I think that Disney is smart enough. And I know the world's changing a lot faster. And like, say, you know, in 83, 84, when you showed all this new technology, it would have stayed new to all the visitors because they didn't have access to things like the internet, you know, where you things go around the world in 2 seconds and you know about new ideas. And it's a different world. But I mean, I still think that there's a place for mid-80s concept Future World without IP, but I know that the IP brings in the bucks, and that's probably the bottom line. So
that's exactly the bottom line. If it's not bringing in the bucks, it's not in Walt Disney World now. So, you know, it's going to be an IP central. I mean, that's why something like Rivers of Light is having so much trouble. You know, it doesn't have any IP, so people are like, well, this is boring. And it's like, no, it's not actually boring, but, you know, whatever, it's fine. So
it's kind of like from the movie The Right Stuff. The astronaut said, "No bucks, no Buck Rogers. You gotta have the bucks to have the fun stuff." All right, well, let's let's talk about your Hawaii trip. I'm saying highway in the sky. Let's talk dining on the monorail. I don't know. So you went to Hawaii last year. Now tell us.
I did.
We kind of talked about this briefly on the show when you got back, just here and there, just dropping some stuff. But why did you decide to go out there? I remember there was a specific event that happened that actually got you to Hawaii.
Correct. So last year, Brian actually won Manager of the Year for his hotel. And so that meant that when you become Manager of the Year, you get to take a trip pretty much anywhere that you want, mostly expenses paid. And so we decided that we wanted to go to Hawaii because duh. So we knew we'd never get out there in any other way. So we were like, of course, we have this option. We're going to go to Hawaii. So we went to Maui for 6 nights, which was absolutely fantastic. Beautiful, beautiful. Loved Maui. So gorgeous. But I knew that with being that close to Alani and thinking, well, I am never going to be getting out this way again, probably. Or, you know, if I do, it will be years and years and years before I get out this way again. I'm going to take this opportunity to actually go to the Disney Resort, Alani, because, you know, I don't know when I'm coming back. So we did a one-night stay just so we could get there and see what it was like and experience Alani. And paid for them, literally, we paid for it with my Disney dollars. So, and the sad thing is I have enough Disney dollars to get me through this cruise. So I'm like, oh no, I boosted my card on way too much.
Yeah, I know. It's a blessing and a curse. You're like, whoa, I only get like 1-2%. How did I get all these bucks?
whoa, yeah. So when you think about that, you're like, yeah, I spent a lot of money. So, but I think Brian uses it to pay like, you know, the gas bill or something like that. So at least I'm getting money on stuff for other things. So, so anyway, we decided that we were going to take the trip to Alani. And so we hopped on a small little Hawaiian airline plane and, made our way. It was a short trip from Maui. I mean, it was like maybe 45 minutes or so, and, got to the airport. We used, because Alani, you know, it's, doesn't have a like Magical Express type situation. We use something called Speedy Shuttle, which had been recommended to me to get there because I was nervous because I'd never used Uber at that point. So I was like, well, I know that Speedy Shuttle can do it. So we used them. They did a great job, took us right to the hotel. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, as you're driving through Alani, driving up to Alani reminds me a lot of coming to Disney Cruise Line. Because you kind of like crest over a hill and you can see there's like nothing. And then you just see this giant massive hotel in the distance over on the side, you know, and it's just like when you crest up and you see Disney Cruise Line and you're like, oh my gosh, there's my ship. Oh my gosh, there's my hotel. So it's really, really, it felt, the whole trip felt very familiar, but very different, all for very different reasons. So, it was a very easy drive to get over there. But yeah, it's kind of cool. So, we had just the standard room. Obviously since I was staying there for such a short time, I didn't pay for an ocean view room or anything like that. I had just a standard, you know, view room. So I had a beautiful view of the parking garage. So they do have parking on property, but you do have to pay for it. So just keep that in mind. So that's part of the reason why we also did the shuttle, just so we didn't have to pay for parking and rental car and stuff like that. So, but the rooms, they're beautiful. Overall, it felt sort of familiar and also very different. The rooms kind of had a little bit of, they kind of actually, the whole hotel in essence kind of reminded me a little bit of Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. It has, you know, those dark colors and things like that, and then the bright oranges and the bright yellows, and the room had, you know, dark browns and light tans, and they had blue accents and lampshades and stuff like that. Like, it all had a very, like, Animal Kingdom Lodge type feel to it. Of course, authentic for Hawaii, but, you know, it did. It just felt very familiar, you know? It felt very nice, and they have, because, you know, it's kind of a newer resort, they have space under the bed for you to put your luggage, which I love. I think that's fantastic. So we did that. They have a porch patio type thing, so you can go out and have some coffee in the morning because there are coffee makers in the room. So if you wanted to go out and read a little bit, you could do that. And it was nice because, you know, you could go out and look at the porch, and there was, we didn't just have a view of the parking garage. We could see a little, if you looked over on the side, you could see a little bit of water, ocean type thing. And you could see kind of the beautiful grass hill, you know, and it was, I mean, for a standard room, I wasn't mad about it. Let's just put it that way. So, I mean, while I wasn't looking at the ocean necessarily or whatever, it was still beautiful. I mean, it was sunny and gorgeous, and you're in Hawaii, so how can you go wrong, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me ask you this though, because when you made that comparison, you know, I heard you kind of building up to it. And is somebody who hasn't been there. Now, I've studied the resort a lot because I do help guests plan trips to Aulani. So I've, you know, studied through my Disney travel agent stuff and taken quizzes and tests and so forth. But I thought you were going to say it had more of a Polynesian village, you know, type resort feel, because obviously you're there. I mean, that's what the Polynesian is based on. But you think it's really kind of more of a Animal Kingdom feel than a Polynesian?
I think it's a morph between the two, to be perfectly honest, because the funny part about this trip is I stayed at Aulani, and then the following weekend, thanks to Florence, I actually stayed at the Polynesian, like literally back-to-back weekends. So I got to go to real Hawaii and fake Hawaii in the course of, you know, 7 days. So the comparison was definitely in my mind. This does feel a lot like the Polynesian. But because the Polynesian is, you know, an older resort, it has kind of a different layout and stuff like that. So I still feel like it's kind of a combination between the two, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge and Disney's Polynesian. But it had more, to me, it had more of a Animal Kingdom Lodge feel overall than a Polynesian feel. But again, it really was a mismatch, a match of the two. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Sounds fair, because those are awesome. Those are both really strong thematic resorts down at Walt Disney World that everybody adores. So
absolutely.
When you combine
and kind of the one thing that really surprised me about this resort is that the lobby. You know, you're so used to walking in and seeing these grand, huge lobbies. And at Aulani, it's not really like that at all. The main entryway is, you know, vaulted ceilings and stuff like that. But it's not as huge as the rest, you know, as the Walt Disney World resorts are. It's very, It kind of goes in a long shape instead of like a big open grand shape. So that was really a shock to me. I was expecting this wow pop view. And while I got a little bit of it, it's not like walking into the Polynesian or, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge or anything like that. So that was kind of a shock to me. But
interesting.
I mean, still beautiful. Yeah. Still, I mean, you're in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, I would totally picture like an Animal Kingdom Lodge type lobby, you know, because that's like, oh man, you walk in there, it's like it just opens up. Yeah, it's just amazing, you know, the artifacts on the wall, the smells from the restaurants, the sounds from the drums, you know, it's just the big
glass.
It's
not at all like that.
Interesting.
I found that to be very interesting. But the grounds, I understand why, because the grounds themselves are sprawling, like seriously. That's where they focused their attention, was the grounds of Aulani, because of course you're at a resort and this is a destination resort that you're going to, you know, you don't have, I mean, yes, you can go and do things, you know, on the island, you can go to the Dole Plantation and, you know, you've got the Pearl Harbor and stuff like that. But, you know, this, there's no Walt Disney World to go to, you know, so this is what their focus is on. You know, their focus is on giving you a good time at the resort while you're there. So, you know, they wanted to make sure that they had enough activities for people to do while they're actually on site. And I think they definitely delivered in that regards.
Okay, so let me step back here for just a second before we talk about what you actually did in your, like, you know, 24 plus hours.
It was like 36 or something hours, yes.
Okay, so but let me ask you this, because, you know, we're kind of gearing this towards the Walt Disney World fan and how they can, you know, what they could expect when they're heading to Aulani, you know, similarities and differences. So let's talk about the flight out there, because obviously the flight's a big expense. You know, it's not like flying to Florida. You know, you can catch Southwest, maybe catch a cheap fare, you know, here and there, and you get down there cheap. It's a huge time commitment, and you don't have as many options. You know, not as many airlines fly to Hawaii. So what was that process like, actually getting yourself out to Hawaii? And then you kind of walked us through getting to the resort, but getting yourself out there by air.
Yes. So, you know, obviously it was a little different because we stopped at Maui first. But the planning process, so you're right. There are, unfortunately, Southwest does not go to Hawaii yet. Maybe someday they will. But as of right now, no Hawaii. So I couldn't take my standard Southwest trip. So I had to do some research. We looked into a couple different options, and what ended up being the cheaper way to do it was to fly out on one airline and then fly back on another. So what we did was we flew out Alaska Air, because they fly out of Atlanta here to, the East Coast, or the West Coast, I'm sorry. They fly from the East Coast to the West Coast, and they we actually had to stop in Seattle. So we had a layover there, and it was a good layover. Like, I'm talking like 7-8 hour layover or something like that. And we had an early flight. So we knew, you know, time difference wise, it was going to be a long day. But we wanted to make sure we had the early flight. So we had kind of all day to do it, and we could, you know, it would mess up our clocks a little bit, but not terribly, you know what I'm saying? Like, we wouldn't be totally screwed up. So, we did that. We went to Seattle. We actually left the airport, and we toted our luggage around with us because we had some carry-on stuff. And, we went to the, you know, down by the Pike's, you know, market in Seattle, which was actually a lot of fun. You know, we stopped. I'd never been to Seattle before. So we had, chowder in a bowl, and you know, I stopped at the original Starbucks because duh. And you know, we had a good time. We traveled there by their train, you know, their like metro train or whatever, and made it down there. And then we went back after a couple hours and went back to the airport and then took the plane out. It was once we left Seattle, it was about, I want to say, like another 4 hour flight or so to Maui. So that was, you know, again, not so bad. I think we landed at about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So, you know, I will say that the time difference, it did mess me up, you know, because coming from the East Coast all the way to Hawaii, it's a difference of 6 hours. And so that will really screw you up. I will say it messed me up pretty much the whole trip, but not terribly. I do remember, you know, one of the nights while we were, you know, staying in Maui, I remember just being so exhausted. It was like the first or second night after, you know, after the first night we'd gotten there. And we were eating dinner at the restaurant, and I was just like falling asleep in my food. I was like, I can't do this. I just really want to go to sleep. And what really, really stunk was that was probably one of our most expensive meals. Like, it was a ridiculously expensive meal. And I was like, I really don't even care about this. I just really want to go to bed. So
I'm sure that was great. I'm sure Brian loved that. Ricky, wake up.
Yes, we're having an expensive meal. Wake up. Well, he wasn't feeling it real hot either at that moment. So, you know, we were both out of it. But now the flight back, we flew back with American. I did have some issues flying back with American. I will say that was not a great experience. I did not realize ahead of time. So we had a layover in Phoenix, and we did a red eye. I did not, and we left on a Saturday night, and then, you know, spent the whole Sunday traveling again, so that way when we got back to Atlanta, we could just pretty much go to bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't mess us up. We would be refreshed in the morning and be able to go to work, because that's what we did. Oof. So, yeah, stupid us. hey, we had to maximize our trip
that's
somehow,
it.
Right?
Yeah,
so,
all right.
So anyway, so what we did was we flew out American, and I did not realize that they had changed our schedule. And when they changed our schedule, they also changed our seats, which I had picked a window seat and a middle seat for Brian and I, because I knew that I was going to have trouble sleeping on a plane. And I knew that I needed the window seat to be able to get comfortable, because I packed pillows and stuff like that. Didn't realize until that morning before our flight that we had been changed. And not only were we not where we were, but we were not even sitting together, and we were both in middle seats. And I was like, no, this is not gonna work. This, because I knew, like, what am I gonna do? Like, hey, stranger, can I snuggle up next to you?
Well,
like, seriously,
I think that's the preferred way to do it, but I don't
know. Yeah, that was not gonna happen. I mean, you know, I just, no. I already knew, like, I was gonna have a terrible time. So we got a hold of them, and thank goodness we called in the morning. because there were definitely some very angry people at the airport that night because the flight was full. I mean, full. They were trying to get people to stay. And so thank goodness we called in the morning. Luckily, we were able to finally switch. There was only one seat available where there were two next to each other, and it was an aisle and a middle seat. And I was like, fine, just take it. So I have to say I was not very happy with American. And that was that. I meant to write them a letter because that was how unhappy I was with them, but I never did. So,
well, you know, that's why Southwest is the preferred airline of the Be Our Guest podcast.
Absolutely. 100%. Because I get to choose where I'm sitting, and I could have chosen to sit in the plane, you know, next to Brian, and it would have just, you know, like it would have just been so much easier, but you know, whatever.
So. Okay. So one other thing, and then I want to hear about the stuff you did while you're there, but one of the things I get from folks that are heading on out, and especially like a Disney cruise, that are Walt Disney World travelers, you know, they book the cruise and then they, you know, they're like, well, what's next? You know, because they're used to ADRs at 180 days, fast passes at 60, and, you know, watching for special event dessert parties to be released and, you know, fireworks hours. I mean, there's just so much at so many times that it kind of occupies your time until your trip. With cruises, you book it, and then you just wait till your online check-in day and then boom, you're done again. You know, you have like one day and then that's it. There's not much to do. Was it like that for you with Alani? I know you probably did research to learn as much as you could about the place, but what are the similarities and differences to a Walt Disney World vacation?
So I will say they do take ADRs, or they have their own ADR kind of system. I don't really know when they like set up, you know, what the day mark is for it. But I do know that because I made a reservation for their buffet restaurant, which is Makahiki, I think that's what it is. And I lost, like, somehow I couldn't find the reservation, so, like, I made another one. And, like, so when we got down there, you know, because I'm so used to having to make ADRs, they kind of laughed at me because, you know, look at this silly girl who actually made a reservation for our restaurant type thing, you know, like, oh, you actually had a reservation. I don't think that they rely very much on them. So maybe at Ama Ama, which is the fancy restaurant there, the signature type restaurant, but definitely at the buffet, they were not expecting you to have ADRs. So they were quite surprised when I said that I had one.
You're like, if I don't make these things at Walt Disney World, I don't eat. I need to make sure.
Exactly. I don't get food. So
and I'm hungry.
I want to make sure I get to eat. But they do have some character meals. I would say if you really want to eat at the character meal, definitely make an ADR probably for that, just to make sure that you get it. Because, you know, it's a character meal. But, you know, again, I think if you just kind of roll up there and say, hey, can we eat here? They're probably going to be okay with that and seat you.
Sounds good. Fine. All right. So let's fill the last part of the show, about 10 or 15 minutes, with the activities. What is there to do? Because obviously you said, and it's Disney's goal, you know, Hawaii is a tourist destination, but they want to keep you at Alani. They don't want you wandering off to Pearl Harbor or to the Dole Plantation. They want you there. Obviously, they want you to, you know, buy your stuff there, have your meals there, but also that helps them control the entire experience, and that
exactly,
you know, that reflects well on them. So what's it like once you're there?
So Alani is definitely a paradise. They have everything you can imagine doing at like a beach type vacation. So or a resort type vacation, I guess I should say. So if you're looking to go sit by the beach, they've got it. Like, you can go, they have chairs, they have umbrellas. You know, you can go and you can just sit by the beach and, you know, feel the waves and feel the sand and feel the salt and, you know, all that stuff. Their little island part, it's kind of like secluded. So it's kind of like a circle, and I don't know what the official name of what it's called, and I'm terrible, but like, it kind of is blocked a little bit. So the waves aren't very strong, you know what I'm saying? Because it's in this circle type situation. So it's not like you're going to have like huge crashing waves, like you may see, like we saw in Maui. You know, you're not going to have that there, but it's going to be gentle, nice play in the ocean waves. You know what I'm saying? Like really calm, type thing. They had lots of seating for people out by the beach, you know, for people to go to. They have rentals. So if, you know, you need to, you know, rent like boards or, you know, anything like that, you can do that there. They also have a lot and by I mean a lot of pools, you know, various different pool situations going on there. They had a few hot tubs. They had an infinity hot tub. They had a really gorgeous grotto hot tub that I really wanted to go in, but it was always so crowded and I didn't want to, you know, be completely surrounded by a lot of people at that point. So I was like, you know, I'll just go to a different one. They had an adult pool area, which was nice. Also very, you know, secluded, very quiet over there. And they had, so the difference with Aulani and their kind of, pool setup, I will go through this first. You really do have to get there very, 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 very early to get your spot. You know, the people stake out their spots because again, this is a resort hotel. People are there all day, you know, they're going to be spending their day at the resort, so they're going to be taking advantage of all the pool resort activities. So with that being said, people get their spots early. Disney does say that they do kind of police the area, and I use that in quotes, but they police it to make sure that you are coming back to your seat, you know, after a little bit. You're not just leaving your towels and going away for hours upon hours upon hours. I didn't really run into them, like, taking away our towels or anything like that, but we did always kind of remain cognizant of that fact, and we did always kind of go back to our seat and check, you know, just to make sure that everything was fine. I think usually they'll do it if, like, they just see towels, you know, that they don't see anything else, because they don't know whether somebody's just left their towels or whether that spot's still taken, you know. So I think if you have like a bag or something along those lines, you will probably be able to, you know, keep your seat a little bit better than those who just, you know, use the resort towels. Also, one of the very unique things about Aulani is that because it is a resort, they have some exciting things like slides. And they have a lazy river as well. So this was really cool. We did the lazy river a couple times. It was awesome. It was so great and relaxing. We also did the slides. They had a slide that was open, and then they had a, you know, so you could see out. And then they had an enclosed slide. And I realized at that moment when I went down the enclosed slide that I very, 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 very much don't like enclosed slides. Oh. And I feel like I'm in a coffin. Yeah, and I was like, nope, get me out of here. I want out. Like, I was like, oh, please let this be over.
Yeah, I hate those things. I can guarantee you today I'm not doing that at Pelican Plunge. I hate those closed-in ones. Yeah.
Those enclosed slides make me feel like I'm in a coffin, and I do not. No. So... I did that once, and then I was shaken, and then I was like, not doing that one again. So, but they do have that option for those of you who do not feel that way about enclosed slides. But it's just kind of fun. You know, they do have kind of like those activities for you to do, just again, to keep you doing things. They also have kind of a shark reef situation. Like they used to have a Typhoon Lagoon. I do think, I'm pretty sure you have to pay for this, so we didn't do it, and I think that's why we didn't do it. It's not, like, terribly much money, but I think it's a better deal. I think they give you, like, deals as you, you know, are there longer, so I think it's a better deal if you're there longer to do, like, that type of stuff, but it's definitely there for people to be able to do if you'd like to. You know, it's really just such a great resort. They have a campfire place where Uncle, who's one of the characters there, he kind of tells stories and things like that. And remind me to tell you the story of that at the end of the show. And then there's Auntie's Beach House, which is a place where kids can go. It's kind of like on the cruise line. It's their kids club, basically. And kids can go and they can do activities and crafts and, you know, all kinds of things. Hear stories, movie time, all kinds of great things over there, too. So there's definitely a lot of activities. I do think that we managed to, with the time that we had, I mean, we had basically two full-ish days there. We did manage to do everything there that we really wanted to do. So that's good. So I think that, you know, it is kind of a nice enhancement to do these things in addition to maybe going and doing a few other islandy things. But if you wanted to spend all day at Aulani, you know, all your whole trip at Aulani, I think you could do that. But I think that you'd get a little bit more enjoyment if you actually, you know, did Aulani and then did some of the touristy stuff too.
So what this sounds like to me, because I have a different perspective, obviously never being there, but I'm a huge fan of the Disney Cruise Line, sailed many, many times, and obviously been to Walt Disney World many, many times. And with Aulani being, you know, one of the newest developments for the Disney company as far as a vacation destination, it really, really seems to me like they took these ideas, especially from Cruise Line, like the different pools, an adult pool, family pools. You know, if you think of the aqueduct, it's basically like a water slide. You know, it's on the ship. They have a kids club. They have, you know, just different things to do in a lot of the cruise type activities, it sounds like, too. So it sounds like they've really, that maybe if you're somebody comfortable with the Cruise Line, this is almost like a land-based cruise, especially on a sea day, like you were mentioning getting your spot. I mean, that sounds exactly like a sea day on the ship. You got to kind of, you know, be aware and be proactive about staking out the best, you know, spot wherever you want to sit on the sun deck or by the pool.
Absolutely. I mean, 100%. It really is. It really did remind me of the cruise experience. I mean, overall, if you've done a Disney cruise, I think you'd really like Aulani. Well, yeah, absolutely. It was very, very, very reminiscent of a Disney cruise.
Okay, yeah. So real quick, before we close out the show with that story from Uncle, because I can't wait to hear that. And wait, was it Uncle George, our good buddy?
No,
the Wizard
I did. No? I did get to see George, though. I loved it. It was so awesome. So I guess now I'll talk about the restaurants, because that's what George and I did. So there are four different places that you can go to eat, kind of drink, that kind of thing. And plus there's a few small like kiosk type things. So they have like shaved ice and, you know, stuff like that at some of the kiosks and some snacky stuff. There is the Aleo Bar. I think I probably butchered that name, but that's kind of a cool bar setting where it's attached to kind of Makahiki, and it's where you can go, and they have words all around it, and the words are all like Hawaiian words, so that you get to kind of learn the Hawaiian language, which is really kind of cool. And I think that's just a traditional bar. We didn't go in there. We of course did eat at Makahiki. That was the buffet. It was so, Brian loved it, because they had sushi, all you can eat sushi. Hello. He was a happy camper, and they had all you can eat crab legs. So we were both good. Done. Easy peasy. Yeah, it was so good. They had tons of different things on the buffet. Lots of options for people, options that were, you know, kind of Hawaiian in nature, and then options that were, you know, kind of American in nature. One thing to also know about Aulani is it gets a very heavy Japanese tourist. So heavy, in fact, that a lot of the signs are in both English and Japanese. That was something that I wasn't expecting, just because, you know, I didn't even think about that, you know, but it's definitely, they cater to both markets. So they have, and I know that they have, like, I see them, you know, when they advertise for Disney jobs, you know, I see a lot of times they'll advertise for Japanese speaking people for Aulani, and that's why, because they, you know, they get a ton of Japanese people that come out and visit there. So, they have Japanese-inspired dishes as well on the buffet menu, and at other restaurants as well, too. So they really, the buffet had something for everyone. They had a fantastic dessert option, you know, dessert options, just stacked, crazy awesome. There's also the Ulu Cafe, which is more of a counter service location. They have some grab and go items. They have counter service things that you can grab. And then they have, of course, refillable mugs, which of course we got. We got one because, you know, hello, you're on
souvenir.
Vacation.
Souvenir, that's right.
You get to go exactly. Right, huh? And Brian and I drink out of that stupid mug all the time. they also have the there's a bar restaurant too that they have. We went there, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, and I can't remember the name of it. But that was one of the first things that we did, and we had lunch there, and it was okay. It wasn't like, you know, super awesome food, but it was okay food. The best though was Ama Ama, which is where we had with George. We had dinner, our lunch with George and his family, and so it was so, like, let me tell you, it's kind of the signature place. So it's a really great place to go if you're looking for a romantic dinner. They have it open air, so you can see like the sunset, you know, on the water. That it's beautiful at night. I'm sure it's gorgeous. But of course we went at lunch, and I got the burger, and I'm not a huge burger fan, okay? I can do a burger, but it's not like my favorite thing in the world. This burger was the best burger I've ever had in my entire life, basically. It was so good. I don't remember what was on it. There was like some kind of bacon thing on it and tomato. I want to say it was like a bacon tomato jam, but I could be totally lying about that. But I don't know. This was seriously the best burger I've ever had in my entire life. So I very, very, very much suggest. I know that's such a random thing to get, you know, at a nice fancy restaurant like Amama, but definitely get the burger. So that kind of goes into my, I'll tell you one other thing. There are also characters at Aulani as well. So if you are looking to meet characters, you definitely want to make sure you do that here. That was one of the things that I made sure we did, was that we met every character we possibly could meet, because again, you're at a Disney resort. You want to take advantage of all the Disney related things that are there. So we went and we met, like, they have this lawn area that you can go and meet the characters. And I mean, they do it at specific times. So you kind of have to ask, you know, what time the characters are meeting. But they come out in groups. So it's like about, I want to say, 5 or 6 characters, you know, come out, and a lot of them will come out in pairs. So like Mickey and Minnie met together, and then Daisy met, and then there, because it's Aulani, Duffy and Shelley May were there. And I have to tell you, that line was the longest line, thanks to all the Japanese tourists who love Duffy and Shelley May. Like, that was, I was like, I'm not waiting in line to meet Duffy. No, that's not happening. The line was so long. We met Stitch out there one day. We met Goofy and Chip and Dale in a different area. So the characters are definitely very prevalent there. And it's kind of nice because you could go from one character to the next and they're all kind of there at once, clumped together. The lines aren't terribly, terribly long. And it's just kind of a nice little thing to do. So,
well, you know what? And again, with that though, that's exactly what the Disney Cruise Line does. You know, they'll bring out characters in like groups of 6 to 10 and put them in pairs. And you kind of, it's like the princess meet and greet, you know, that morning that they have on the ships. Or
exactly.
Yeah, they'll do the Fab Five together. I mean, but that's a great idea because it's efficiency, you know what? And it keeps everybody happy.
And you're not standing in a, besides the Duffy line, you're not standing in a terribly long line to meet the characters. You know, it goes, it flows, and it's very good. I really like that way of doing meeting characters, of putting like, you know, 5 or 6 of them all grouped together in one area, and then people can go and choose which characters that they want to go to. I actually did that once. There was a character, I'm assuming character training at Epcot, because it was kind of in an area behind American Adventure, or right by American Adventure, and there was a, you know, I want to say again, like 5 or 6 different characters, and you know, you could just go character hop from one character to the next, and it was great. You didn't wait in line long, and although a lot of them were random characters that nobody knew who they were, like, you know, like most, like, Disney fans know who they are, but, you know, like, the average guest doesn't know, like, you know, King Louie and Captain Hook and Smee and, like, you had some random, I think Rafiki was out there. You had, like, random characters, so, but lines were short with that. But, all right, so are you ready for my story?
Yes, let's hear the story. I want to hear the story of George. Wait, Uncle. That's Uncle.
Uncle, yes. Well, it kind of relates back to George, too. So we're going to go back. So while we were at dinner, or while we were at lunch, I was sitting there, and George obviously lives on the island with his daughter and his wife, and they were looking over, and over at the table next to us, they were like, hey, that's Ali'i from, you know, she's Moana. And I was like, nah. And they're like, yeah, that's her. She's friends with our daughter. And, you know, they've done some things around the same area. And so she's like, you know, yeah, that's her. So, you know, she came over to talk to his daughter for a second, you know, after she was done eating. And so I was like, oh my gosh, you know, that's kind of cool. Because Moana had not come out yet at this time. Like, it was still, you know, a couple of months away. So then later on, we were going to go see a show with Uncle, and they actually had the area all blocked off. And they had camera crews there, and we're like, oh, okay, you know, kind of what's going on. And then we realized that they were actually filming some of the spots for Disney Channel with Uncle and Ali'i. And so we got to watch them by the fire pit actually film some of these spots that actually ended up going up on the Disney Channel. It's kind of funny because I found out later or earlier in the day that I was apparently in a hot tub with one of the guys on Biz Aardvark. I don't know who he is. I have no clue. But it was weird because like a bunch of guys were hanging out around him. So I was like, okay, that's whatever. But you know, like, you know, it was just, I was like, everybody like wanted to glom onto him. And I was like, I don't know who this is. So
Biz Aardvark.
I got no idea. I was like, whatever. It's just the this kid who is, you know, I mean, he's fine, but I mean, I didn't even like, it didn't do anything. It didn't faze me at all. But I was like, cool. So apparently I've been in a hot tub and with one of the Disney Channel stars, and I had, you know, lunch in the in the same area as another. So
that's all, you know, but I tell Mallory this because, of course, she sees all those, you know, we watch Disney Channel 24/7. She's like in their prime demographic right now, like Paige was, you know, 10 years ago. But, you know, they do all the spots from the Disney ships and Alani and Walt Disney World and all that stuff. And, you know, I think this is something for when you have kids and even for, you know, the Disney fan in your life yourself, is that you need to kind of keep your head on a swivel and keep your eyes open, because a lot of times, like, we're sailing on the Fantasy right now. There's a 50-50 chance somebody famous could be sailing on that cruising, you know, and especially a place like Alani. You know, if you're a Disney fan, that's going to be prime area for somebody to go that may be famous. So I think you, absolutely, you know, not be a stalker, but more times than not.
Please don't stalk these people. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, more times than not, though, you may run into a celebrity from TV or, you know, a sporting celebrity or something on one of your Disney trips.
Exactly. I just thought it was really cool because obviously, you know, again, like I said, Moana hadn't come out yet. So it was really cool to see her, you know, before the big fame hit her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure her, you know, fame hasn't changed her at all very much. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, before everything hit the fan, you know what I'm saying? Like, before she became kind of a household name, it was just kind of a cool thing to be able to experience that. So
awesome. That was cool. I can't wait to get out there myself. It's going to be fun. We're going to make it happen. Pam really wants to go to Hawaii, so I want to make that happen for her. Let me ask you this, though, because we're doing the show, and I know that you're doing a series, I believe, the entire month of July about Alani, so that folks can get acquainted with the property and think about maybe if it's for them. Because I know, you know, I'm a Walt Disney World guy, you know, I go there time and time again. I still got to get to Disneyland, but, you know, I think sometimes we got to explore our options, and it's new, but it's comfortable because it's Disney. So where can people find this coverage?
Absolutely. So I've been sharing a whole bunch of coverage on the Mouse for Less. I've been writing blogs, so you'll see blogs every Friday. So you have to kind of go back and look at the ones that you missed. And then I've got a couple more coming out. Sharing content, you know, photos and everything like that on, you know, the Instagram, or not the Instagram, but the Twitter and Facebook of the Mouse for Less. I've got YouTube videos that are up on YouTube, so you can take a look at some of the videos that we've created. So I've got lots of great content that's coming out. It's like Alani month on the Mouse for Less. So you know, make sure you go check out everything there, because you're going to get lots of great visuals to see kind of what the whole place is like. Because, you know, I can talk about it and have probably talked about it at, you know, like, great lengths, but to actually see what it is something completely different. And, you know, it gives you kind of a feel of what the resort actually is like. So you definitely want to make sure, if you're thinking about going to Alani, make sure you check out this coverage, because it will definitely help you in your planning.
All right. Well, shaka sign to you, Ricky, and have a great Friday. And I'm sure we're having a great time at Castaway Key down in the Bahamas today. We're heading back
north. I'm sure we have sweated our butts off running the Castaway Key 5K.
Forget that. We're just sitting on the beach by now. I don't care. Whatever. We're having fun. Yeah.
Mike's probably asleep, and I'm probably taking pictures, laughing at him, you know, selfies with Mike passed out.
I'm in a hammock. I can guarantee you that somewhere today.
Yes.
So anyway. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Ricky, and we appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
No problem. I'll see you soon.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. When you're heading to a Disney destination, let the experts help you out. That's what they do. It's no additional cost to you, and you're going to get their awesome expertise and get the best price possible. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. And don't forget, today's show also brought to you by Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. So when you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, give Drew Baker a call at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com, or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Please do give us a follow on the social media. Lots and lots of content coming your way again starting on Saturday. We're going to have all those pictures from the cruise coming up. We're going to have all the, I'm staying at Old Key West for the first time in a two-bedroom with our friends, the Gardners. We have fast passes. We got meals. We got all kinds of stuff from Walt Disney World coming now. We're going to eat at homecoming before we come home. I promise. I cannot wait. That's what I'm looking forward to. I can't believe it.
So good.
I know. So anyway, good. So do follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter. I'm at BRGuestMike, and we got a great Facebook group. Ricky usually posts awesome pictures there while we're down there. Videos as well. We'll even do some live broadcasts on the page. Mm-hmm. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Do support the show anytime you shop online. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Ricky did that today. She got a new router for the house. How hard was that to do, Ricky? Pretty simple to support the show?
So easy. So I went to BeOurGuestPodcast.com. There's a link that you click right there. All you got to do is click the link, and it'll take you to Amazon, and you don't have to do anything else. Just buy what you're going to buy. So super easy.
I hope you bought a $1,000 router that will cover your entire
zip
code.
Yeah, I definitely did not buy a $1,000 router. I think you've met my husband, and I think he would kill me.
True, fair enough. But do BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Every little bit helps. You guys have been doing awesome with that, and I can't thank you enough. It really does help pay the bills for the show as they get bigger, as we get more listeners. But hey, that's what it's all about. I love it. Anyway, we're going to get out of here, and I got to get back to – I think we have a meet at the Heads Up Bar, Ricky, here in a few minutes. We got to get up there for the smoothie meet. Free smoothies all around for the guests of the Magic for Less. We take care of you. It's going to be so much fun.
We do.
That's what I'm glad we're not broadcasting this live. That's a secret. So there we go. Everybody knows that. All right. So we're going to get out of here. We'll see you again on Monday. There'll be a show in your feed. Another great trip report. Thank you so much for your support. So for Ricky and Pam, who's not here, she's chilling out somewhere else. I'm Mike, wishing you a great Friday. Time to have an awesome weekend. But whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.